Welcome to the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business podcast. I'm Melissa Lieberman, a fellow IC and business coach. On this podcast, I teach you to become a consistently booked independent consultant without becoming a pushy salesperson or working 24/7. If I can do it, you can too. Listen on to find out how.
Welcome to episode 163 of the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business podcast. This is Melissa Lieberman here, and I'm excited to talk with you today. Talk with you today about a tool for higher converting consulting networking calls. This seems to be a theme with many of the consultants that I've been talking to and working with lately, that they've been having challenges with converting their consulting networking calls into potential opportunities for their consulting businesses. And you might be having a similar challenge where you're talking to a lot of people in your network or new people you're meeting, potential decision makers, potential referrers, potential collaborators, but it doesn't seem to go anywhere. It ends in that dreaded, "I'll keep you in mind." And so today I want to tackle that, help you tackle that so that it doesn't have to end in that phrase of, "I will keep you in mind," and you can keep things moving forward. So that's what we're going to focus in on today. Before we get to that, just a quick update here from Colorado. It is crazy. It is spring weather. I think it was 70 degrees the other day, and maybe on Wednesday or Thursday, and it snowed yesterday. So it's hard to keep track of things. My middle son is playing flag football. That gets canceled every spring. That basically every single game gets moved into some, you know, sort of truncated schedule. So that's what happened. He was pretty sad about that yesterday. And of course, we're still swimming every single day. My oldest son got to have a clinic with a former Olympian. I believe his name is Josh Allen. I need to look him up about the specific details of his Olympic career, but he had 3 gold medals that he brought with him to this clinic. And it was really fun to be able to see my oldest son look at the medal, touch the medal, wear the medal, think about what's possible. What's possible when you see things in a tangible way, which I always love to correlate back to, you know, running our own businesses and seeing what's possible for consultants, for example, can really open up the doors for you. So anyway, that's what I was thinking about in part when my oldest son was wearing that Olympic medal and getting the photos with him and talking with him, having this clinic of, you know, just that sheer experience of seeing what's possible and meeting another human who has achieved what's possible starts to make it more concrete and something that you could achieve. Just like for my son, to see this gold medal, whether he'll ever go to the Olympics or not is another thing, but just to be able to see that possibility opens up the door to even consider it or to pursue it versus not even really realizing that's possible or not thinking it's possible for you. It just makes it so much more tangible. So I always love to make some parallels between youth sports and coaching consultants. So here we are. That's what we're up to today. Okay, so with that, let's dive into today's topic, a tool for higher converting consulting networking calls. That's what I really want to dive into so that you don't have to keep getting stuck in this kind of ending with these networking calls where someone tells you, "I'll keep you in mind." Of course, that's great for them to keep you in mind, but I also know that you would love it to be more concrete as a next step, for something to really come of these networking calls and the time that you're spending on these networking calls. And so that's what we're here for today. Let's talk about the agenda and then we'll dive in. So I'm going to first share with you a companion resource. So you'll have that to go along with today's episode. Then we're going to talk about just set up the stage with a example for you. That's how I'm going to structure today's episode. An example for you of a scenario that ends where you're networking and it really goes nowhere. And then we'll talk about what can you do about that type of a situation. It happens so often. And I'll give you a tool that you can leverage to help advance those networking conversations further. And I'll share with you a couple of examples of how to implement that tool. And then I'll pull it together to show you how implementing the tool could result in a different outcome for you on your networking calls. And then we'll wrap it up from there. So that is our agenda for today. Let's start with the companion resource for today. The companion resource for today is chapter 10 of the book, Grow Your Consulting Business, the 14-step roadmap to make your independent consulting goals a reality. In chapter 10, I talk a lot about and walk you through the steps and the mindsets to become someone who loves to sell without becoming salesy. That might sound like a very far stretch for you right now, to become someone who loves to sell without being salesy. And I can assure you that I definitely was never someone who loves to sell. And I don't love to sell now either, but I really love having conversations that could result in a sale. And so when you go check out chapter 10, it really dives into having a solid process from a sales perspective and also what it looks like to have a really productive, impactful mindset as you're selling. So you can go download my book at melissalieberman.com/book, and chapter 10 will give you all of those details. And part of what we're talking about today is how to make your sales process more impactful. And for many of us, part of our sales process includes networking, talking with potential clients who we already know, talking with potential clients who we're introduced to, talking to potential clients who we were creative enough to get a meeting with, talking with potential referrers or potential collaborators. By that, I mean people who, other consultants or consulting firms who work with the type of people that you work with and the type of clients that you work with, but don't do exactly what you do. So there's some complementary services there, and you're both talking to the same type of target market and providing adjacent services that can be so valuable. So those are the type of networking conversations you might be having. And then it can be so common to get into the situation where it doesn't go anywhere concrete. Let me share with you an example. Let's say you're meeting with someone who could be a client and it ends in, I'll keep you in mind and I'll reach out when I need something. Or I understand what you do. It's so relevant to the types of challenges that I'm facing and the organization that I run is facing. But it's just nothing immediate. I don't need anything immediate. I'll keep you in mind and reach back out when this bubbles up. Those kinds of endings to networking calls can be so frustrating. And you can get to the point where you question whether this is a good use of your time or not. Another example is if you're meeting with someone who's a potential collaborator and it ends in the variation of, I'll keep you in mind for opportunities that sound like they would be relevant to your skill set. Again, it's that dreaded, I'll keep you in mind ending that happens so often with networking calls. And quite frankly, it can feel like there's nothing we can really do about it. And so that's why I want to bridge into what can you do about it? It seems, you know, when someone tells you, I'll keep you in mind, I don't have anything right now. I understand what you do and the value of it, but it's not something that, you know, we have a budget for right now. All of those kinds of things and responses sound like a logical response. They sound like a logical next step. When the person you're meeting with is telling you they don't have an immediate need or a budget, then it might sound like a logical next step for them to keep you in mind. So what can you do about this? And do you want to do something about this? The answer to that second question is really important. Do you want to do anything about this? It can be very true that someone doesn't have a budget, that someone doesn't have an immediate need. At the same time, when you did have a conversation where you know that there's an opportunity there. You know that what you do can really help them based on the conversation that you had. Or you just have an inkling because you know what's going on in their organization because you've seen things in the news about the company. Maybe they're going through an M&A type of an event. So you know that there truly is opportunity there, and it's not something where they want to really truly keep you in mind. You know there's something there and want and have an inkling, have a hypothesis that having subsequent conversations truly could lead to the door opening for your services. So once you, when you have that inkling, when you know there is really something here and there, and it's just frustrating that it's not becoming more concrete, what can you do about that? And that's where I want to share this tool with you today of what you can do about this, which is really getting clear on what happened in the conversation and where your state of mind was that potentially led to that outcome of "I'll keep you in mind." So in some ways, what we're looking for is, what did you do? What did you contribute? How did you lead the conversation and the outcome to be "I'll keep you in mind"? This is can be frustrating because it's hard to look at what we're doing and how we're thinking and feel like we didn't do it ideally. It's so much easier to say, well, you know, Melissa, the fact is that there's nothing there right now. They don't have a budget. But at the same time, if you can take responsibility and really look at how you were thinking during the conversation and how you were feeling during the conversation, and therefore how you might have driven the result of "I'll keep you in mind," that starts to open the door for you to make adjustments and improvements to get a different outcome. So it might be a little bit painful to say this is just what it is, that you did contribute in some way to that outcome of "I'll keep you in mind." And when you're open to the idea that you contributed to the outcome of "I'll keep you in mind," that starts to open the door to you problem solving and iterating and improving the way you're approaching these networking calls. So for today's exercise, we're going to have you raise your hand and take full responsibility that you set up a dynamic where it led to the result of "I'll keep you in mind." I'm not doing this to make you feel bad. I'm doing this to help you see where you have more power over the outcome than you might think that you do. So with that, this tool is really you looking at what I call the three-way mental model evaluation. There's probably a sexier way to say this, but it's basically looking at the different angles of the way that you're thinking during one of these networking calls that is leading to the result of "I'll keep you in mind." So the tool that will help you uncover more options to take these types of conversations, these networking conversations, to a concrete next step. The tool for higher converting consulting networking calls is what I call the three-way mental model evaluation. Those three ways are retroactively looking at the thoughts you were having about the person you were talking to, the person you were networking with. The second is the thoughts you were having about yourself in that moment, in that conversation. And the third are the thoughts you were having about your process in that conversation. So let me give you an example of how this works, and then we'll talk about the result of putting this in place. So an example of how this works. Let's start with the first step. What are the thoughts you're having about the person you're talking to? Let me give you an example. I was working with a consultant client the other day, and he was so frustrated because he had been getting some really good traction of getting more networking calls. He was in one of those sprint modes that I was talking about on prior episode, a few episodes ago, called the three modes of lead generation. We can put that link in the show notes. But anyway, he was going through one of these sprint lead generation modes and getting really good traction and making some great progress about getting more meetings with more ideal potential clients and potential referrers and potential collaborators. So that part was going really well, but he was getting so frustrated because it was ending in this, I'll keep you in mind, or you're welcome to send over a proposal, which would be so incredibly premature, or send me your one pager and I'll take a look and keep you in mind. Those are the types of responses he was getting during these networking calls in the sprint mode. He was so frustrated. They were going nowhere. He felt like he was wasting his time. He felt like he was building a business model that wasn't going to be scalable or sustainable. And just the frustration was mounting. And so we took a step back and I walked him through the exercise that I just shared with you called the three, you know, that three-way evaluation. And here's what the way that it looked. So when we started with evaluating what he was thinking about the potential client, one of the potential clients that he was meeting with. So we picked out a conversation, one that he felt should have gone somewhere that ended in, send me your one pager and I'll keep you in mind. And we just dove into that as an example, as a case study. And I started off by asking him, tell me, what was your predominant feeling in that conversation, in that networking call? And he said, nervous. I felt nervous. And I asked him, why? Why did you feel nervous? He gave me a few reasons, but the one that really stood out to both of us was when he said, I was nervous because that person I was talking to was really important. And I felt worried that I would blow the opportunity. And so you can see those thoughts that this consultant was having about the person he was talking to, how that would create nervousness. When you're thinking something like, this person is really important, I don't want to blow the opportunity, of course you would feel nervous. And so then I asked the consultant, how did those nerves impact you? And he paused and he said, I realize now in looking back, I took a more passive approach to the call. It was almost letting the person I was talking to lead the call, lead the conversation. And I would respond, but it was more of him being in the driver's seat than me being in the driver's seat. And I said, well, you see why that is, because you're thinking when you go into the call and during the call that that person is more important than you are. And it was an aha moment for him. He realized that he wasn't as bold. And he said to me, I realize now that I wasn't as bold as I could have been in recommending a next step because I was thinking about that person is more important than I am. And I don't want to blow this opportunity. And that's what kind of put me into this passive zone where I felt like almost like I was back in corporate and I was in the office of the COO who I was subordinate to, you know, at the time in the org chart, and it kind of in that deferential mode. And so this is such an important awareness. This example that I share with you is such an important awareness because this helps to unlock other ways of approaching the networking conversation in a way that is more of an equal, in a way where you're thinking, in this case, this consultant is thinking of themselves as a peer to the individual they're talking to, as an advisor to the person that they're talking to or networking with. And therefore, coming at the conversation in a more confident manner, in a more curious manner, in a more leaderly manner, and testing that approach out in order to get a different result that doesn't end in, send me your one pager and I'll keep you in mind. So that's what we realized in this particular example when we saw that this consultant that I was working with, when he saw that he was coming at these calls really feeling mostly nervous and therefore not coming across as confident and not coming across as leaderly as he could be in these calls. And so, of course, they would likely lead to an outcome of, send me your one pager and I'll keep you in mind. This isn't just how it is. It isn't true most of the time that the individual that you're talking to doesn't have an opportunity or that there isn't a viable, appropriate next step to keep the conversation going. Now, will everyone hire you? Of course not. But when you're able to continue advancing these conversations, even into you know, an initial offer, an initial diagnostic to get your foot in the door at an organization, you want to be able to set yourself up to do that. And that's where this three-way mental model comes into place, where you can really unlock your ability to be more confident, to be more leaderly, to be more clear and come across as an advisor versus feeling nervous and therefore hesitating and taking a more passive approach and most likely leading into send me your one pager and I'll keep you in mind. So the adjustment in this case, as we went through this process, this first stool of the three-way evaluation, is really the adjustment that this consultant took away was, I'm going to put a pre-call protocol in place to think of himself as a business owner and peer versus a subordinate in order to get into a more confident state of mind, even a more curious state of mind from a peer perspective, not from a subordinate perspective, and therefore set him up to make bolder recommendations for next steps. Let me walk you through this tool, this three-way evaluation from another angle. So this next example is one where we're implementing the thoughts you're having about yourself. So I'll give you another example here. A consultant was having a conversation with someone who is a potential collaborator. So in this case, this particular consultant is a fractional COO, and they were meeting with fractional CFOs and fractional CTOs who work with the same type of target client. And they were getting to that place where that potential collaborator would say things like, send me your one pager and I'll keep you in mind. And so again, we took this conversation, an example conversation as a case study. We evaluated that conversation. In this case, it was a conversation with a fractional CTO, and that this, my consultant client really knew that should have gone somewhere. That conversation, I'm so frustrated. It should have gone in a more concrete next step way. And it went into that zone of send me your one pager and I'll keep you in mind. And the consultant that I was working with was so frustrated because of that, because he knew that they had some really good rapport that they had established. They had, you know, really good overlap in terms of ideal clients. There were so many great things in place. And it was so frustrating that it didn't go into something concrete as a next step. And so I started implementing this tool with him that I'm sharing with you today. I asked him, what do you think you were thinking about yourself on that call predominantly? And he paused and he said, I was thinking that I don't know what I'm doing and I know less than the person I was talking to because that person's been in business a lot longer than I've been. And I asked him, how do you think that thinking impacted you? And as he reflected back on the networking call, he said, you know, I realized now that I was hesitant, that I wasn't thinking, I almost felt blocked. I couldn't think of ideas for next steps in the moment. After the call was over, kind of a flood of those next steps I could have recommended came rushing over me, but I wasn't able to think about it in the moment. I felt almost kind of like my brain was seizing up. And so I came up with a couple of concrete ideas after the fact and emailed those over, but I haven't heard back, you know, any response to that yet. And I said, this is great. This is great awareness because now we have something to work with. It isn't just what it is that your brain's going to seize up and that's just how things are and that you're not someone who thinks on the fly as easily. It's not that these types of calls have to end in really no tangible or concrete next step. Let's really look at and readjust those thoughts you're having about yourself in order to unlock that thinking in the moment so that you don't get off the call and feel frustrated that you didn't think of a really good next step to recommend in the moment and have to rely on an email after the fact. And so as we were working through this together, the adjustment came into place of the mental adjustment he identified was, if I think about this in the sense of there's no right way to manage a networking call, the other person might doesn't know any more than I know. We're just here meeting each other for the first time and take some of that pressure down as a result of that thinking. The other sentence that he came up with for himself was, I'm open to making more confident recommendations and curious about their response. Almost coming at it from an experimental mindset where there's no right way, there's no one way on these type of networking calls, but thinking about it from the perspective of I'm open to making more confident recommendations and curious about what the other person might respond with. Do you see how that shift in thinking from this person knows what they're doing and I don't know what I'm doing, over to I'm open to making more confident recommendations and curious about how they'll respond, how that can unlock your ability to think in the moment and come up with suggestions for concrete next steps. That's what happened for this particular consultant. He realized, oh, I can be so much more creative in the moment when I'm thinking in this way. And so that gives you a couple of examples here about how to implement this three-way mental model evaluation. Again, the three ways are your thinking about the person you're talking to, how you're thinking about the person you're talking to in a networking context. The second is your thoughts about you. And then your third are your thoughts about the process. I'll touch on that third piece here briefly, and then we'll pull this together to show you what happens when you put these shifts in place, when you do this evaluation and put the shift in place. So that third part of the three-way mental model evaluation is really the thoughts about your process, such as these networking calls aren't going to go anywhere. This call probably won't go anywhere. This call will probably result in them asking me for a one-pager and telling me they'll keep me in mind. When you think about your process in that way, then it becomes really an outcome that you didn't really want to drive. And you're almost making that outcome happen for yourself because you can come at it in such a defeated way or just sort of a way where you're going through the motions versus thinking to yourself about the process itself of networking, that every networking call you have leads to something. Doesn't mean that every one leads to an opportunity, but when you start shifting your mindset around from this is kind of a futile effort over to something like every one of these networking calls will eventually lead to something, whether it's another introduction or an opportunity down the line or a concrete next step, it opens up your ability to be more creative in the moment as a result of that. So that's just a quick example of that third component of the three-way mental model evaluation. Okay, so let's pull this together. So I gave you an example here where I was working with a consultant. We've identified a couple of areas using a couple of different scenarios for that consultant. We identified some new mental models for them to implement. And so on the batch of next calls, the consultant took these mental shifts and put them into place. The two mental shifts that I shared with you in these examples were, I'm a business owner and a peer and an advisor versus a subordinate, which the goal was from that way of thinking to lead to more confident, bolder recommendations for next steps. And the second mental shift was, there's no right way. I'm open to making more confident recommendations and being curious about their response. So we pull those two mental shifts together. They were able to feel more curious and confident going on to those networking calls as opposed to hesitant and nervous. And as a result, they started making traction on creating concrete next steps, such as moving into a diagnostic type next step. We were talking about that on a couple of episodes ago, using a diagnostic and as a way to uncover consulting opportunities. We can put the link to that in the show notes as well. And with potential collaborators, that new set of thought processes where you're feeling like a peer and an advisor and that there's no right way. In this case, for this consultant, it started leading them to create opportunities with potential collaborators where they were agreeing to another call where they identified a couple of beta clients to pursue, named clients, right? Not just the concept of it. So hopefully this gives you a good sense of how you can implement this three-way mental evaluation to figure out where you might be contributing to getting stuck in the send me the one pager and I'll keep you in mind zone, and how you can start experimenting with the way you're thinking about yourself and about the person you're meeting with and about your process itself in order to stop getting stuck there in that zone and keep these conversations moving forward into opportunities more quickly. So as we wrap up today, I just want to remind you to go download the book at melissalieberman.com/book. And you can look at chapter 10 to augment what we've been talking through today with respect to becoming someone who loves to sell without being salesy. All right. That's what I have for you here today. And I will see you again next week. Take care.
Thanks for joining me this week on the Grow Your Independent Consulting Business podcast. If you liked today's episode, I have three quick next steps for you. First, click subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to make sure you don't miss future episodes. Next, leave me a review in your podcast app so other independent consultants can find and benefit too. And finally, to put the ideas from today's episode into action, head over to melissalieberman.com for the show notes and more resources to help you grow your consulting practice from your first few projects into a full-fledged business. See you next week.